Okay, we're going to start. The Gemara has a statement, Oma Shmuel, Dina de Malchus Adina. What does this mean? It doesn't apply on everything. Rav Soloveitchik told us, he used to travel every week from Boston to New York. So he, the early years he went by train, then he went by plane. So he said he was once going by plane and he saw a Reform rabbi there and he was all burnt up. He was all angry why the Reform will remarry, they'll allow a woman to remarry even though she never got a get. So he walked over to the other, to the clergyman, and he says, how can you permit a woman to remarry if she didn't get a get? It's against the Pasuk and the Chumash. So he says to him, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised that you don't know that in 1937, whatever, he gave a date, we had a convention, and we said, Dina the Machus Adina, if they're divorced according to the secular law of the land. So we followed Dina the Machusa. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what do you mean, Dina the Machusa? So why do you perform a marriage? Why don't you just let them get married by the justice of the peace? Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. You don't see the difference. When you perform a marriage, you recite a bracha. That shows that that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You don't apply dina malchus. When you get divorced, you don't recite any blessing. So that's a secular thing. So we rely on a secular court decision when they divorce them. So there is a difference between a get and kedushin. Kedushin is a mitzvah, and get is nishke mitzvah, so you don't say a bracha. But they're both in the area of Yisra Heta. So dina malchus adina doesn't apply in Yisra Heta. You used to have blue laws. In certain states, blue laws that you're not allowed to keep your stores open on Sunday because it's their Sabbath, and Shabbos you're allowed to keep your stores open. So a religious Jew is allowed to keep his store open on Shabbos because Dina Machusa, of course not. Dina Machusa only applies in Dina Mamas. That's what the Stechemit quotes in Dover Poshim. The Rambam writes that Dina the Machusa doesn't apply when you get to Yerusha. Because the Pasuk says, the Rambam has a drasha that doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. He says, by Benoy Slavchad, who gets the Yerusha? So even though Yerusha is a matter of dollars and cents, it's an issue of money, how much money each Yerusha is going to get. It's Mishpat, but the Torah treats it like a chuk, as if it were Issa v'Heter. And that's why Dina Machus Adina does not apply there. In the same generation, there were two Gedolim with the same name, Maritatz. One of them was Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, was a rabbi in Constantinople. And one of them was Maharit Tzahalon, Yantav Tzahalon. He lived in Tzfat. He became famous after the Beis Yosef passed away. So the Beis Yosef had a few sons. So one son died leaving no children. So the other son had to do either chalitza or yibum. So the son by the Sfardim, they still practice yibum. By the Ashkenazim, they don't practice yibum. Machlek is what the Maskanas HaGemara is. So by the Sfardim, so the son of the Beis Yosef wanted to do yibum on the Yavama. And she didn't, her father, she, her, same, her name was Simcha Vital, a girl's name, Simcha. She was the sister of Rab Chaim Vital. And she was married to the Beis Yosef, one of the Beis Yosef's sons. So her father told her she shouldn't agree to Yibum because the husband, because the brother of the Nifter already had the first wife. So he's only going to treat her like a second fiddle. He's not going to treat her like a real wife. And he only insisted he wanted to do Yibum. So there was a whole hullabaloo about that, and the rabbi in Tzfat gave a psak that was incorrect, and this Maritatz, the Rabbi Yantav Tzahalon, wrote a whole tshuva disagreeing with the rabbi in Tzfat, and they all agreed with him. So he became famous after that. But he writes in one of his tshuvas, during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Kara, when he was, I think, only a teenager, he writes that they sent him, the rabbanim in Tzfat sent him to be the shliach, to speak to all of the Jews who live in the Arab countries bordering on Eretz Israel, that Dina, the Malchus Adina doesn't apply in Yerusha, the practice was that when someone would die, they would be dividing the Yerusha, so they would follow the Goyish court laws. Whatever the Goyish court would say, that's what they would follow. So he was sent as a shliach of all the Rabbanim. They should tell the people that it's incorrect, because in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Tshuvas HaRashba, that Dina and the Machus HaDina only applies when at least one of the two parties is a Nochri. Then you apply Dina and Machus. But if all the parties involved are Jewish, a Jewish man died, and he has nephews and nieces and children, they're all Jewish, all the relatives are Jewish. So if all the people are Jewish, you don't apply Dina and Machus HaDina. Some people misunderstand what it says in the Gemara Dina Machus HaDina. They think that when I have a dispute with someone else, I'm permitted to go to secular court. I have a dispute with another Jew, I'm allowed to go to secular court. That's against the halacha. That's the opening pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Eila ha-mishpatim ha-shetosim lifneihem. So the Gemara has a drasha. That's if the Mechilta has a drasha lifneihem, lo lifnei ha-koyah. So you're not allowed to go to ha-koyah shal nochrim. If one of the parties is a non-Jew, if one of the parties is a non-Jew, then you're permitted to go to our cause. Thank you. But if all the parties are Jewish, we don't apply Dina the Machus HaDina. In New York, 100 years ago, before Moshe Feinstein came to America, he ran away from the communists. He lived under communists in Russia. So before he arrived in America, the big Pesach in America used to be Rabbi Henkin. So Rabbi Henkin has in his tshuvas the following, that there used to be Jewish wealthy balabatim who owned apartment buildings. And they would be careful only to rent to other Jews. They wouldn't rent to non-Jews. Or there would be wealthy Jews who owned factories and would only hire Jewish people, didn't hire non-Jews, because they planned not to follow the Dina de Malchusa of minimum wages, and they plan not to follow the Dina Machusa of maximum rent. There was rent control. So they said Dina Machusa doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. So they would only rent to Jewish people, and they could rip them off, because Dina Machusa doesn't apply. And they would only hire Jewish workers, so they don't have to give the minimum wages. So Rav Henke wrote a whole tshuva that it's absolutely not correct that... Davnei Nezer has a long tshuva about Din in the Machusa. It's called Sheish Ma'adas Lekise. Shlomo HaMelech's throne had six steps to walk up till he sat down on the throne. That's in Sefer Melachim. So he has all the other tshuvas of Davnei Nezer just have a number. And this is Nechelik Yeridei. This has a title, Sheish Ma'adas Lekise. A Rav passed away, and there was a Din Torah who has the right to take over, who has the Schus Yerusha to take over from the Rav, his son, or his son-in-law. The son-in-law apparently was stronger in learning. But in the days of Davnei Nezer, the assumption was that no such thing as a woman rabbi. So the Shah says, what do you mean, the son-in-law Yarshins? How can the son-in-law Yarshin, if they would have a woman rabbi, say the daughter Yarshins the Rabbanis, and then her husband takes it away from her? But they didn't have a Havamina to have a woman rabbi. So this is what the whole, it has a long tshuva. It's called, and there are six hurdles that you have to overcome before you paskin who gets the throne, who gets the kisei harabonis. That's why it's called Sheish Ma'alas Lekisei. It's the first he talks about, is there Yerusha on Rabbanis Bechlal? Torah doesn't go be Yerusha. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says Torah doesn't go be Yerusha. So maybe Rabbanis should not go be Yerusha. So he says, Torah doesn't go be Yerusha, that's to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva. But the Rabbanis, that's like a Malchus, that's not the Torah. A rabbanis is the main job of the rabbi is to maintain law and order in the shul. There shouldn't be machloikas. I remember one rabbi said that Rabbi Willig was once speaking at a Yom Iyun with the students. He said in Riverdale, his shul, he views his main function as the rabbi is to maintain peace in the shul, that the balabatim shouldn't fight with each other. I thought it was a little strange, but then I saw this Jew from Davnei Nezer. He says, Melech b'mishpat yamed eretz and man malki rabbanon. The role of the rabbi today, when they used to have smicha, so the role of the rabbi was to paskan shadas. But he says today all the shadas are discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Shadas are true. That's not the role of the rabbi. The role of the rabbi, that's Rab Soloveitchik used to say over that. Rab Meir Bar Ilan wrote an essay about this. What is the role of the rabbi? So he writes, he asked the Aruch HaShulchan, so the Aruch HaShulchan said, he was related, I really forgot how. He was the son of the Netziv, and the Netziv's second wife was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan, who was his niece. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was a sister of the Netziv. Her maiden name was Berlin. That's why the Torah Tmima, whenever he quotes something from my uncle, the Netziv, so he says, Dodi Gisi, my uncle, my brother-in-law. Because first he was his uncle, and then he became his brother-in-law. He was his uncle because Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was a sister of the Netziv, so it was first his uncle, and then when the first wife of the Netziv passed away, so the Zivik Sheni was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. That's why the Torah Tmima, whenever he quotes from the Netziv, he learned the Valoshin. So he quotes from the Netziv, so he says, Doi Digis. So, so the role of the rabbi today is based on shlichus sayu. The Gemara does not smich based on shlichus sayu. He only says shlichus sayu milsa the shchich of is bechisar and kiss. So he says the role of a real musmach, the role of a real talmid chacham is to learn Torah, teach Torah, and bring Torah to the masses. The role of a shlichus sayu is to maintain law and order. Melech min mishpat yamin eretz. That's the long tshuva in Avdineza, Sheish Malas Lakisa. So Rav Henkin wrote a psak that this is incorrect. When do you say we don't, if both parties are Jewish, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuva Sar Hashbo, you don't follow Dina the Machusa. That's only, it means we have laws of Hashavas Aveda, Schiris Poilim, Malva Veloiva, Shavuot Deraisa, Shavuot Derabanan. You have a whole Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishpah. So we follow Chosh Mishpah, we don't follow Din and Machusa. But if the government makes a takon of Letikan Amdina, let's say bankruptcy, so all the Ummah Soilim got together and they decided sometimes a person made such a major mistake in his business, he'll never be able to straighten out for the rest of his life. He owes millions of dollars to everybody, he'll never have a penny to save. He's going to have to give all the money away. Every time he earns something, he has to pay it away. So the guy will be dead. It's impossible. You can't leave the world like that. They made a takanim, they tikan amdilim, and tikan oilam, he has a right to declare bankruptcy, not mechuyav to pay back all the money that he owes. So this is a takanim, le tikan amdilim. Or let's say you have rent control, or you have maximum prices you can charge on milk, on necessities, on ice cream, and on luxuries, on jewelry, you can charge whatever you want. But on milk and cheese and meat, these are basic essential bread. So that the government used to have maximum prices and rent control and minimum wages and so on. So these are takonis l'tikan amdina. So this, the Bezin should have made such a takon. If Bezin didn't make the takon, so the Goyish government makes it. So it's binding on the Jews also. Takana l'tikam dina is binding on all the Jews. Let's say a person declared bankruptcy. And then later on, he starts all over again. And now he's a wealthy man. Is the Mechuyiv Sabdinan Machus in Namachuyiv? He declared bankruptcy, not Mechuyiv to pay back any money. Is there a Midas Chasidus to give back the money? So that's a three-way steerer. In the Toseftas, the Oros HaMeach has this. There's the three Toseftas, two Toseftas in Bava Kamma, one in Gittin, about Roifei Shekilkel. A doctor is treating a patient, and he didn't treat him properly. If he followed the standard procedure and that generation, that standard procedure, and it turns out that it's wrong. All of medicine is like that. When the whole COVID started, so the doctors were killing all the patients because they told them to lay on your back. Everything was wrong because they didn't know how to deal with it. But once they establish a procedure, and that's the accepted procedure, so then if the doctor does that procedure, then it turns out 5 years later that was wrong, that he harmed the patient. So he's not chayv to pay for it. That's oinus. That's the standard procedure. We're talking the doctor made a mistake somehow. He slipped, and he made the patient sicker. Instead of helping him, he made him sick. So there's a stira and a tosefta. So one tosefta says roifei shekilkel is chayv, and one tosefta says potter, And the third Tosefta says, Patim Adayan V'chaim B'dayin Shamayim. So which is it? Mamash Astir. So the Yosemech points out, and Baba Kama, at the end of the second parak, it says, on the Mord V'yadam Be'm Shogig Be'm Mezid Be'm Yoynis Be'm Beratzen, the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah got this, and then later, Parak HaChayvel, in the eighth parak, it says, Yipei Chamisha Dvarim, Nezik Tzari P'shevis and Boshin. But you only pay Nezik, when you get to Nezik, you say, Adam Mord V'yadam Be'm Shogig Be'm Mezid. When you get to Tzari P'shevis and Boshin, Boshin's Yonah Chayviv Niskavin Lavayish, or at least Niskavin Lachbo. If it's not Niskavin, you're not Chayv. And the Tzari Peshevas, the other three, you want to Chayv if there's some bit of Pshi. If there's no Pshi at all, then he's not Chayv. So that's what the Or Samech explains. He says the first Tosefta, the Tosefta usually corresponds to the Seder of the Mishnayos. So the earlier Tosefta is at the end of the second parak in Mishnayos. That's where the Tosefta is. So it says, Refish Akil Kalos Chayv to pay, because it goes on Nezek. The later Tosefta goes on Tzari, Peshevas, and Boshes, that you have to have, it should be some Pshia involved. He wasn't Pshia, so the whole thing was an Oina, so he's not Chayv. He's not Chayv. Boshes for sure is not Chayv, he wasn't a Skav, neither Levayish nor Lachbo. And the Tzari, Peshevas is also not Chayv. And the Tosefta and Gittin is in the middle of the series of Mishnais, in the middle of Gittin, where it says the first Mishnah has in Perak HaShaleach, that they made b'pnei tikkun ha'olam, you're not allowed to be mevatel a shliach shelo b'fanav. I send the shliach to deliver, I get to my wife, and no one has a cell phone, and there's no email, and then I change my mind. I don't want him to deliver the get. How's he going to know? I can't, there's no way for me to notify him. He has no cell phone, there's no email, there's no telephone. How can you notify him? So he's going to give the get to the woman, and she's going to think that she's mugureshes. She's going to remarry, and there's going to be beis, there's going to be a violation of asinah. They made a takana the rabbanon that you're not allowed to be pnei tikkun ha'olam. You're not allowed to be mevatel the shliach shelo b'fanav. So once that's a takana by gittin, then it has pnei tikkun ha'olam made a takana. You have to put all the names in. If the woman goes under one name in one city, under a different name in the other city, the husband goes under a different name. In one city they call him Jack, the other city they call him Yankel. Depends whether the Jews are going what they call them. So you have to write all the names in the get, because the woman, the husband was going to live in this city, wife was after the get was going to live in that city. So it's only going to have the name that the husband has in the other city. The people are going to say, that's not your husband. Your husband didn't give you the get. They made a takana with the rabbanim. And I take an oilam, you have to put all the names. So once the Mishnah has a few takanas by gittin, then it lists off takanas pruzbolan, takana wherever you put the eruv v'chatzeres for the last 10 years. You don't switch it because the people will think the guy probably did some major avera that they decided to switch. They're not putting their eruv chatzeres in his house anymore. And remember, the building where I live always had an eruv chatzeres, and they always left it in the home of one of the balabatim who was an invalid, and he couldn't. He was always there, summer or winter. He was always home. He was an older man. He was so even when I moved in, they wanted to be mechabed me to put there in my apartment, but you're not allowed to. Mishnah says, if he has the chazaka, they always put the eruv in his apartment. You're not allowed to switch it. They shouldn't say anything negative about him. After he passed away, then they switched it and put it in. They asked me to take care of the area. So the Mishnah has all of these takonis. So the Tosefta has more takonis than they think on Ha'ilam. So the Tosefta has the din there. If you have a Reife Shekilkel, you have a doctor who harmed the patient. So strictly speaking, he's Chayv Nezik. That's what it says in Baba Kama. He's Chayv Nezik, but he's part of from Tzari, Peshevis, and Boshes. So this will or let's say you have a dayan, a dayan had a dinter and he paskin incorrectly, and it was a portion of money, and he can't always get the person to give back the money. The Gemara says, let's say the fellow went to Medina Sayyam, the one who won $1 million, and there's no way to retrieve the money from him. So it doesn't help, the dayan backed out. Who's going to pay for it? So people, dayanim, who are good, strong, and Dayanis, they won't want to go in the field. I'd rather put out Kisviyad of Rishonim. No one's gonna be angry if they don't agree with the Ksaviyad. So they're not gonna sue me in court. I'm gonna be a Dayan of the Torah. If I make a mistake, then I'll have to pay from my pocket. A Dayan of Paskin is wrong as Chai Medina de Gami, the Gemara says. And a doctor. I know a doctor, he was in Mashiach the first year that I taught here in Yeshiv. There was a guy in Mashiach. He wasn't so strong in medicine. They didn't accept him to any American medical school. I had to go to Guadalajara. And his wife didn't want to go to Guadalajara. It's in Mexico, I think. She didn't want to go to Mexico, so she stayed in Chicago. And every other week he would come to see his wife, and then he would go back to Guadalajara. After a year or two, then he got accepted to American Medical Association. Never too strong. And then later on, they were suing doctors right and left because of malpractice. So he switched. So instead of being a doctor, he sells medical supplies. Now he's a rich man. Now everybody in the community, I think he lives in Chicago, last I saw, everybody respects him because they're very wealthy men. He gives a lot of money to his doctor. Fine. So a lot of people will run away from medicine. Good doctors will run away from medicine because they know they can sue me. If I make one slight mistake, they'll sue me. And that'll be the end of my life. They'll take every penny away that I have. And Dayanim, who know Chosh Mishpot, won't want to get involved. So they made a takanim if they tikkun ha'olam that you get reshus from the Reish Galusa. What's reshus from the Reish Galusa? Either from the Nasi, the chief rabbi in Eretz, or the Reish Galusa in Bavel. That's based on Hefkebet. So the Ramban, early Achrayim, some early Achrayim didn't understand what this is all about. But if you look in the Ramban, in the Kuntres Din and Gamid, the Ramban explains what it's all about. Ramban says, this is Rishus from the Reish Galusa, is that Tol Lo Yishalmo, not that you need Rishus. Doesn't mean that you need Rishus to practice medicine. That's a different thing. You're not allowed to practice medicine if you don't have certification from the government. You're not allowed to practice Dayanus unless you have permission from the Reish Galusa. But that's not what it means, Rishus. Not to Rishus means we want to encourage this person to remain in medicine because he's very good. We want to encourage this person to stay in Dayanus because he's very good. So we say, Tol lo yishamu, if he'll harm the patient accidentally, if he'll be chayv alehem b'mezid, of course he'll be chayv. But if he'll harm the patient by mistake, accidentally, or if the dying will make a mistake, b'shegeg, even though menat mikaredin, we say he is chayv, but the rabbanim we say, Tol lo yishamu. So that's when it says in the Tosefta, that third Tosefta in Gittim, it says, Pat medirah lechem deru shamayim, is patur medini adam even from nezek if not of rishus, because not of rishus is based on hefkebez and hefketov lo yishalmu. But it's chay bedina shemai means if he has enough money to pay, he really should pay. As a midas chasidus, he really should pay. So that's the pashtus over here by bankruptcy. Also, let's say the fellow declares bankruptcy. So even though Din and Machusa doesn't apply whenever both parties are Jewish, here it does apply, like Rav Henkin said. So this is a takonim of Netikon Oilom. So the takonis that the government makes about the rent control and minimum wages and so on, all the takonis that they make, Mishum Tikon Oilom, do apply, even between two Jewish people. So he doesn't have to pay. Once he declares bankruptcy, he doesn't have to pay. But if later on he pulls himself out of this lotter, out of the mess that he fell into, later on, he puts his life together again and he makes a lot of money, then Midas Chassidus says that he should pay everybody back. The Jews and the non-Jews, he should pay everybody back. The people ask me the question, that's what I tell them. If you have enough money, first you pay back all the Jews, then you have money, you should pay back all the Nochem also. But Bolotzis Hidei Shemaim, you should. Then there's another, there's some people, they declare shtick. They declare bankruptcy many times. So those who know don't want to deal in business with them because they know they're going to deal, he's going to declare bankruptcy, he's not going to pay me any money. So that's a shayla. Let's say a person has a business and he declares bankruptcy a shtick. He's doing well. There's no cause to declare bankruptcy. But he writes all the money, he puts all the money in his wife's bank's account and he's doing a harama in order to be able to declare bankruptcy. So that's a shayla in Tosfos. The Gemara has sometimes to say Afkina Rabban leKiddusha Minei to allow the woman to remarry based on a get that was no good minatara. The husband was mevatel l'shliach shalei b'fanav. The shliach doesn't know, the wife doesn't know, and she goes and she remarries. So the Gemara says Afkina Rabban leKiddusha Minei. So Tosfos says Akashi Yichol Mamzeim LiToher. The Gemara talks about Shem Yichap Al Basa Chosei Kmin Yichap Al Basa Chosei. He'll give a get to the shlech, then I'm about to the shlech shlech b'fanav, and the shlech won't know, then you're going to say, Afkinu? So Tosi asks, it's going to come out, Yichol HaMamzeim L'Toyer, if his wife had an affair with someone, and she had a baby that's a mamza, so let him give the get, the shlech, and then be about to the shlech, and say, Afkinu? So Tosi has two opinions. So one opinion, Tosi, Erech HaRami, that's legitimate. If you do it like that, it's good. And they say, the Marsham, that they say. Masham has a chuva where he recommends that. And then the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael, once in a while they do like that. But that's scandalous. The Pasha says like the other opinion. Whenever they made a takana b'fnei tikkun ha'olam, like bankruptcy, or like afkir abar kedush b'nei, something like this, if you know that the fellow's abusing the system, he's doing a harama in order to beat the system, then the takana doesn't apply. They only made a takana b'nei tikkun ha'olam if it's a bitter rachmanis on the God, but it's not a rachmanis. He's cheating everybody else. He declares bankruptcy every couple of years. And he's storing up a lot of money with shtick, with haramas. So then the accepted opinion is the other day in Tosfos, that whenever there's a takanam and naitikan ha'olam, it only applies when someone fell in. But if the guy didn't fall in, he's abusing the system, then the takana doesn't apply. So where's the original din of the din and machus din? The original din, Amar Shmuel. The Gemara talks about collecting taxes. So Shmuel says, din and machus din, the government has a right to collect taxes. And if they took, because I owe taxes, and they took away my horse, or they took away my automobile, or they took away my home, then they give it to someone else, because they took away too much money from him. So the other person has a right to use the horse or the automobile. It's not gezel. When the government takes away, it's not gezel. It's legitimate. Everyone's mechuyev to pay taxes. So that's a big question in the Rishonim. What is that based on? Why does Shmuel say like that? So the Bir Hagro writes in Choshen Mishpat, if you look in the second perek in Sanhedrin, in the Gemara, so there's a story in Sefer Shmuel, when the people requested that they wanted to appoint a king. They asked Shmuel HaNavi. So Shmuel HaNavi says, that's not a smart idea. You don't want a king. The king is going to take taxes and he's going to draft your sons in the army. He's going to take your daughters as pilakshim. And you don't want a king. And the people say they do want a king. So he has no choice and he appoints Shaul HaMelech as a king. So the Gemara has Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. That's called Parshas HaMelech. The riot act that Shmuel read to the Tzibah that they shouldn't want a king and they insisted they do want. So Rav is of the opinion these are all the evils of the king that are illegal. These are the things the king does. Kolam Pashas Melech and a Melech Mutabo. These are illegal activities. And Shmuel says no. Kolam Pashas Melech, Melech Mutabo. These are the legal rights of the king. He has a right to take their daughters as pilakshim. And he has a right to charge them tax, and he has a right to draft their sons in the army. These are all things that are mutab. So the Vilna Gaon said, that's where it's learned out, that the government has a right to take taxes, is based on that pasuk, kolam, and that's Shmuel l'shitasa. The Vilna Gaon says Shmuel l'shitasa. The Miri has like that also. Miri says Shmuel l'shitasa. It's surprising, it comes out that Rav holds kolam parshas melech, melech is also both. So Rav holds it, that you have no right to take taxes. That's very surprising. The way the Vilna Gaon says Shmuel l'shitasa means that Rav disagrees. It's hard to imagine that Rav should disagree because the Mishnah is all over the place. But Dina the Malchus Adina. Where's the original pasuk, Parshas Melech? That's a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes Dina the Malchus Adina, the Shulchan. Different parts of the Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. When you learn Pesmicha, so you learn Yerudei Chelek Aleph. So Yerudei Chelek Aleph is all based on the Torah Sabayis Lahar Rashba. The whole, the way it's set up, Hilchus Shechita, Treifas, Chela, Basa B'chola, Taruvis, Malicha, the whole thing is based on the Rashba and Torah Sabayis. And then Choshen Mishpat is all based on the Sefer HaTrumos, a Talmud of the Ramban. Not to be confused with the Sefer HaTrumo. I was just in Eretz Yisrael, so somebody was giving a shiur. A person I know, Tam Chochma, I know, he kept on mixing up the Sefer HaTrumah and the Sefer HaTrumah. Are two different people. Sefer HaTrumah is like a kitzur Shulchan Aruch by the Rabbeinu Baruch, the Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Baruch, Sefer HaTrumah. Every so often, he's the one that says, Iri Mevashal Kadei Klipa. Like the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, where the Iri is Mevashal like Klivishal Klisheni, so we pass like neither the Rabbeinu Tam nor the Rajman, we pass like the Rabbeinu Baruch and the Sefer HaTrumah. So it reads like a kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and here and there he sticks in a new Chiddush Din. He's a Balatayse. He puts in his shitas. So the Sefer HaTshuma is on Kol HaTarkula. Sefer HaTshumos is the Gidule Truma, is a commentary on the Sefer HaTshumos. Sefer HaTshumos is by Asfardi, by Talmud of the Ramban, and he quotes a lot of things from the Ramban that we have no other makkah for. He quotes the Ravid has a lot of chidushim we have no other makkah for. So the much of Chashem Ishbod is straight taken from the Sefer HaTshumos. Then other parts are straight from the Rama. Most of the parts of the Shulchan Aruch, Tefillin, Tzitzis, come out, everything is word for word. So this, in the end of Chashem Ishbod, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the government taking taxes, it's word for word taken from the Rambam. It says, Din l'machus, din l'gav, the king has the right to levy taxes, whether it's a Jewish king or a Goyish king. That's word for word from the Rambam. What does it mean, whether a Jewish king, probably a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael, or a Goyish king, or Chutz Lartz? You say, din l'machus, din. So this is, the Vilna Gaon says like that. Adina Machus Adina means the government has a right to levy taxes. It's based on the Pasuk. Shmuel says, Kolam Parshas Melech Melech Mutabo. Shmuel the Amora says, based on the drosha that Shmuel HaNavi gave to the people, that's known as Parshas HaMelech, Shmuel the Shitas, Kolam Parshas Melech Melech Mutabo. There's a Ran and a Dorim that everybody likes to quote. The Ran and Adorim quote in the name of the Balei HaTosis that the chiyuv to pay taxes only applies in Chutz Lartz. It doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Great Britain belongs to the King of England, and France belongs to the King of France. Every country belongs to the King of the country. And if I own an apartment building, you want to live in my apartment building, I have a right to charge you rent. You want to live in my country, I have a right to charge you rent. So how much rent should I charge? So we charge income tax, whatever, we charge tax. So the tax is obligatory because you're living in the country that belongs to me. But if the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, so the Ran quotes the name of Baal HaTosis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki li kol haaretz, Eretz Yisrael belongs to me. The whole world belongs to God. But the Rishonim say, as far as I don't understand that, but Eretz belongs to God. And God gave the Jewish people the privilege to live in Eretz Yisrael free of rent. We don't have to pay rent to anybody. I have to pay rent to the British government because they're controlling us. They have no right to control Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to the Jewish people. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us all permission to live there free of charge. So that's what the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosis, that the obligation to pay tax is based, it's considered like rent, and the king is the landlord, and he has a right to charge rent. And if you don't pay rent, so leave. Go live in a different country. Kozman, you're living here. You're stealing the use of my karka if you don't pay me the rent. That's the Ran. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they mentioned this Ran in person. They said, we absolutely don't hold like the Ran. The original mokah for Dina Machusa, the way the Vilna Gaon said, is Parshas HaMelech. That's the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a beferish that Dina Machusa does apply in Eretz Yisrael.
So that's property tax. What about income tax? Because like...
All the tax that you pay is all rent. That's what they run. Everything, the government has a right to charge rent. They have a right to calculate the rent however they want to. In a reasonable fashion. So some of it is when you buy cigarettes, they charge you a tax. Some of it the real estate tax. Some of it is income tax. But it's all rent. That's what the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosis. The Pashtus is that it's on Shulchan Aruch that opinion is not accepted. And according to Vilna Gaon, the original Pasuk is by a Jewish government in Eretz. So how can you say like the Ran, it doesn't apply? The Pashtus is that even if you would have held like the Ran, which the Shulchan Aruch Beferish Pasuk against Iran. Even if you had like Iran, it wouldn't apply Bizman HaZeh. Because Bizman HaZeh, the whole basis of taxes is totally different. Years ago, the whole purpose of paying taxes was to enrich the king. And the Rambam writes, whoever doesn't pay taxes, Harezeh Gozel Menas HaMelech. He's cheating the king from the money that he's rightfully entitled to. Today, that's not the basis of taxes. Today, every government has water purification, garbage collection, mail delivery, a fire department, a police department. They give services. They clean the streets. So that's a din of shutvus. There's a din in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses and Shulchan Aruch that all the people who live in the city have a din of shutfis, and they're, even though they weren't a shtata. I didn't move into the city agreeing to become a shutif. I was born in the city. What kind of my parents lived there? I was born in the city. It doesn't matter. There's one shutfis where you're a mishtata midas, let's say the 11 Jewish war veterans from the Korean War. They started EJ Corvettes. 11 Jewish Korean veterans. That's EJ Corvette. You see, I think they went bankrupt already. I think they closed. But it used to be such a famous story. EJ Corvettes was a Russian. There was 11 Jewish Korean veterans. So they joined. They were friendly in the army when they were fighting the Korean War. They joined together. They were nishtatva yachad. So if you have a shutfis, let's say at the end of the year, they made a fortune of money, and the 11 veterans took a vote. What should they do? So let's say 5 out of the 11 say, leave the business the way it is. I want all the revach that we got this year. And 6 out of the 11 say, no, we should put more money back. We shouldn't take any revach this year. We should open a branch in London, and then another branch in Paris, and then we'll make 100 times as much. Why should we only be mitzumsum here? So it says in Chosh Mishpon, you have a shutfis, so you go basarayv. You go basarayv. What's the mock? How do you know you go basarayv when there's a machlekes on the shutfim? So the Bir Agro tells you to look in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin when there's a din Torah and there's a split vote, 2-1. So you follow the 2. Pasuk Acharam Lahatas. So the Pasuk Acharam Lahatas doesn't only apply when there's a split vote and a din in a bezdin, it applies when you have shutfim. So you go basarayv. So if 6 out of the 11 shutfim say, we shouldn't take a penny, we should put all the money back in and open a branch in London and Paris, and 5 say, no, I want a rebach. When you become a shutif, you mischive yourself to go according to the rules and regulations of the shutfis. So the miut have to go along with what the raiv said. If the miut are not happy, let them sell their shares to someone else who will go along. The miut has no right to hold down the whole shutfis. So that's one kind of shutfis where nishtat for midah. Then there's another shutfis. All the people that live in the city have a din of shutfis benegir to all the issues that they share in common. Let's say all the people that live in New York. So most of the people have young children, so they need a school. So they have public schools. I'm not going to send my children to the public school. I'm going to send my children to the yeshiva. I'm not going to use the public school. But the majority of the people in New York, some of the people are not married, they don't have any children. Some people are married, but their children are already grandparents, so they don't need it. But since the majority of the people in New York City, we all have a din of shutfis, and the majority want to have public schools, so even the miut is b'chayv to go along with the raif. We were never nishtat for midas, but that's the din. The people who live in the city have a din, since they all share certain issues in common. We all need the mail delivered, and some people are not friendly with anybody. They don't hold for mail. They don't want any mail. I don't want to pay that share of my time. I don't want any mail. You have no right to say, I don't want any mail. The government pays for museums. I don't need any museums. I'm not interested. Government pays for the government pays for highways. I don't drive a car. I don't need a highway. No, you go bus the road. Wherever the people need the highway. So some of the things are taken care of by the municipality, some of the things are taken care of by the state, some of the things are taken care of by the federal government. So we are shutfim on 3 different levels, on the municipal level, on the state level. The highways are paid, the forests are paid for by the state government. And the mail delivery and other things are taken care of by the police and the fire department, the municipality. And something are taken care of by the federal government. So we're shutfim on 3 different levels. So there are 2 different kinds of shutfim. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, all the Jews who live in the community are considered like shutfim. And if one person needs a mikveh, they're all mechuyev to help out. Why? Because you don't go bust a robe over there. One person wants an Erev, the miut wants an Erev, the robe don't want an Erev. If it's legitimate, if it's legal, if it's proper to make an Erev, so then it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Rabbeinu Yeruchim says it based on a Tosefta. The miut can be kofer the rabbim. Let's say a miut of the people want to have a shul, and the rabbi don't want it. Why should they spend money on a shul? Every week we'll daven in someone else's home, and we'll save money. Want to save money? So it says Shulchan Aruch, if the miut want to have a shul, the miut want an erev, since they're asking for the proper. If nobody wants to pay for a shul, see, nobody wants a shul. They all want to save their money. So nisht is nisht. But if a miut wants to shul, since that's the correct position to have, or the miut want to have a rabbi, miut want to have a chazan who davens nicely, miut want to have a library, tarach and a shas and a ramam and so on. So the miut can be koy for the roiv because that's the proper way to go. Either follow the roiv or you follow the tzad who has the correct taina. That's a very good question. Rav Avada Soloveitchik has such an idea on the Psukim and Parsha Shmini. The Yom HaShmini, when Shivas Me'amiluim were the last 7 days in Chodesh Ador, then Shmini and Miluim was the first day in Chodesh Nisan, I think. So it says that they brought, I think it was Shivas Me'amiluim, they brought karbonis. So the din is, if you have a korban hashutfim, let's say 10 people join together, they're going to bring a korban shlamim. So shlamim, you do trufa on the chazav b'shok. So you don't do, a few people do trufa. It says, echad meinefayi dekulam. One does trufa, because you only have one trufa. They can't all do trufa at the same time, because your hand will be a chatzitza between my hand and the chazav b'shok. You can't have a chatzitza. Or let's say smicha. Let's say 10 people are bringing a korban shlamim and b'shutfus ayidu smicha. So you can't have all 10 do smicha b'vasachas because your hand will be a chatzitza between my hand and the rosh habehema. So each one has to do smicha b'zachas. Tnufa, there's a posse, you can only have one. Sechad menefai dekunim. One of the shutfim does tnufa and that's all. And smicha, there's no posse, they can only have one. But there's a chatzitza issue. So each one does his own. Each one does his own smicha. So the psukim say there, by Aaron Abonav, that they all did tenufa. So the Tosefta points out, you see that it was an exception to the rule. And normally, a korban hashutvim, ezechad menevai, they kulam, one does tenufa, and here they all did tenufa. So they quote from Avdolala Soloveitchik, why was that so? So he says, if 10 people join together to buy a korban shlomim, each one is an independent bialim. If I could have afforded, I could have brought a shlamim without the other 9 people. He could have brought it without the other 9 people. Each one. But over here, it was a din. Aaron Abonav, they won't be yotzei. If Aaron will bring the whole set of kabbanas, each one of his sons would bring the whole set of kabbanas. They're only yotzei if they bring it together. This was a shutvus bal korcham. So since it's shutvus bal korcham, so Rav Avel explains, they all did the tenufa together, and it wasn't the chatzitza. Your hand is not a chatzitza between my hand and the head of the behema, by the smicha and by the tenufa. Avavak thinks that when they did the smicha, it wasn't that they did b'zecha. They derived it on the Torah's Kohanim over there, not pasuk on Parsha Shmini. The Ravid has a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. That's the regular, that's the famous Ravid. There are other things attributed to the Ravid that are not by the Ravid, but this one is clearly the Ravid. So the Ravid writes over there that when they all did smicha, it was b'zach hazeh, because if they do b'vasach, so it'll be chatzitza. So Rav Avala suggested not so. He said, whenever the shutvim bal korcham, so it's considered as if it's one bailus. They couldn't, if Aaron and Bonav, each one bring the whole set of kabbalah, there wouldn't be yotz. It's a din, it's considered one bailum. Aaron and Bonav all together is one bailus. So that's why the other one's answer is not a chatzitza. He thinks, Abdullah thought, that they all did tenufa b'vasachas and they all did smicha b'vasachas. Not like that, right? So that's such a similar din over here, that all the people who share the need together, you need a mikvah in the community. So some of the people say, I don't want to pay money for mikvah, I'll drive to the next village. Whenever I have to go to mikvah, we'll go, why should I spend $1,000? To make a big mikveh, I'll save all the money. And every time my wife has to go to mikveh, she'll take a taxi or she'll drive to the next city. So the din is that the miut have a right to be koyf for the rabbi, because that's the correct way to go. Every community should have a mikveh. The miut can be koyf for the rabbi to have a library, to hire a rabbi, and so on. It's a new din of shutfus. They become shutfim bal korcham. Shutfim bal korcham, because they all share the same thing in common. They all share the need for the mikveh. And let's say the public school in New York, the rive of the people in New York need a public school to put their children. The Jewish people or the older people or the singles that don't have any children, they don't need any public school. But you go Basar Reib, so since Reib, the people do need a public school, so the Miot have to chip in also. It's a different kind of shutvas, yeah. So the Pashto says that even if you hold like this Ran, b'shem the Bali Atosus, that paying taxes is based on rent, and the king owns the country, the king of England owns the whole British Commonwealth, and therefore he has a right to charge rent if you want to live in his country. That was only in the Friedrich Adoris, but today the money doesn't go to enrich the king. Part of the money goes to cover the kingdom. But the parliament voted that they want to have a king. I elected the parliament. The people want to have a king. I don't like the king, but the majority of the people do like the king. If they wouldn't like him, they would fire the king. They would get rid of him. So they like it. For old time's sake, they like it. So today, the whole theory behind paying taxes is b'tor shutfis. So even in Eretz Yisrael also, the whole idea that they say, based on the Ran, that there's no din machus in Eretz Yisrael, the whole thing is not correct. The whole thing is absolutely not correct. It doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, if you have a democracy, the taxes go to cover the expenses of the... And if you don't pay taxes, you're not stealing from the king. The Rambam says, whoever doesn't pay tax, goes on Manas HaMelech. He's stealing from me. He's stealing from the people who do pay tax. How come I pay 10 times as much tax as I should? Because there are other people, Trump and all the other Ganovim, they're not paying the tax that they're supposed to pay. So they're stealing from me, not stealing from Uncle Sam, not stealing from the American government. The government's just going to charge more tax to the other people. So they're stealing from other Jewish people. It's not Gezel Akum. It's not Gezel Akum. The din is that Gezel Akum is not allowed, but Havkos Havosa is allowed. If I owe money to a Nochri, I don't have to pay. Unless you make a Chil Hashem, then you have to pay. Usually they'll catch you. So there will be a Chil Hashem. People think they'll get away with it. So the Mishlam Melech raises such a possibility. Maybe even though there is a din, din machus a din, and you have to pay taxes, but if you don't pay taxes, hafkos havaasai. So what's so bad? Hafkos havaasai v'nachri is muta, unless you're going to get caught. Then it'll be a Chil Hashem. So usually they will get caught. So other Achranim disagree with that. They say even though hafkos havaasai of a private individual is mutter, gezel akum is also about hafkos havaasai is mutter, gezel b'shevi altasai, don't pay. Yeah, but over here, we don't call it hafkos havaasai. The government has a right to declare that you mechuyev to pay them. The government has a right to say hefke bezna hefke. Hefke bezna hefke is really, there's a long tshuva in the Dvar Avram. Chelek alef tshuva alef. Very long tshuva, goes on and on and on, 25 pages. All about dina de machus adina. He points out different aspects of dina de machus adina. And so he quotes Rishonim in the beginning of Masechah Sanhedrin, the very beginning of Sanhedrin, who explain that Hefker Bezna Hefker is based on Dina Machus Adina. Whenever the government isn't taking care of something, so the Rabbanim have the right to act as if they are the government. So Dina Machus, they could be Mechayev me, even though Hafkos Havas is Mutter. But the government has a right to be mechayiv me, to pay the money. They have a right to say, I'm mechayiv to pay. Not only theoretically, I'm mechayiv to pay the tax and hafkos halva says mutter. No, government says, we want you to pay. That's what the Baba Tanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch Harav on that din. That you don't say hafkos halva says mutter on tax, not like the Mishlam Melech raised such a possibility. Mishlam Melech is in, where is it? Perek Ches and Gzeila Baveda. People have the marmakamis for this year. They didn't distribute it. There's all sheep with marmakamis.
I just wanted to ask.
Yeah.
That which, let's say, one person needs a mikveh, they can force the community to build one. How much money towards the mikveh can they get? Meaning, you know, you can have a basic mikveh, and then you can have it more expensive, more. So, like, how do you figure out how much they can force?
Same thing in a shul. Let's say they can be careful to make a shul. You can have a very fancy shul, very elaborate. So the fancy part that you pay lefi momen. The people have more money, they can afford more, so they want to have a fancy shul. People don't have so much money, they just need a basic shul. So you can only force everybody to pay their share for the basic thing. So sometimes they say, machza lefi momen, machza lefi nefoshes. Half of the expenses for the shul should be paid according to how many people are going to use the shul. I have 9 children, and the other one has 2 children, he has no children, he's single. So part of the expenses to building the shul should be paid lefi nefoshes. Each one is going to use the shul to the same extent. We hope they're all going to daven the same extent. And then machza lefi momen, because the shul, they do a lot of fancy things that are really heder mitzvah. And so the more a person can afford, so the more he's mechuyav to pay for the heder mitzvah. You have discussions in Shulchan Aruch about how you divide the expenses for the shul. So that's the original din in the Gemara. The din of Machus Adina, the Gemara says, is benegeir to paying taxes. The Pashta says that today, all the countries that we deal with are all democracies, and the money doesn't go to enrich the government. The President of the United States, the Congress said he's entitled to so much salary. So we voted in the Congress, and the Congress said they should give him so much. He's entitled to his salary. We're not giving him the money to enrich, not enriching the king, not enriching the government. We're giving him a salary because he's doing a job. So since today, in a normal democracy, the money goes to cover the budget, so whoever doesn't pay is stealing from the other shutfim. It's a chi b'toras shutfim. That's in Shulchan Aruch, said beferish like that. That to pay for the shul, and to pay for the mikvah, and to pay for the library, is all hilchos shluchim shutfim. It's a din of shutfus. The Shachan Yeridei and Hilchas Ribis has another point that there are different opinions in the end of Choshen Mishpat about taxation. Does the government have a right to introduce a new tax now that never existed before? So there is an opinion that no, only the taxes that have been practiced for many years, for many generations. So Yishtalaf the Chazoke, all the people who live there sort of agreed to pay the tax. They've been paying for so many years. So they're mechuyev to give it because they already agreed, as if there was a ischaibus of the whole community. But if the government wants to introduce new tax, so they have no right to. And other Rishonim disagree. So the Shach says, whatever you say about Din and the Machus over there in the Anachosh Mishpat is irrelevant as far as Kesef is concerned. There's Kesef and there's Shavah Kesef. Usually, Shabbat Kesef, Dinah Kesef, when you get married. How many guys are in Mekadosh B'Kesef? You could be Mekadosh B'Kesef, Bishtara B'Biya. So, Mekadosh B'Biya, they give a Makas Mardis, not allowed to. So, you're left either with Kedusha Kesef or Kedusha Shtar. So, the Rambam says, Kvar Noga Kholi Tzor, the Kadosh B'Kesef. The meaning by the Orthodox Jews is, in Mekadosh B'Kesef. And the commentaries explain, because the Karaites and the days of the Rambam, the Karaim never believed in Kedusha Kesef. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara, the Kesef is Torah Shabbal Peh. The Karaim never believed in Torah Shabbal Peh. So this is one of the things that all of there are different Karaim. There are Karaim in Africa and Asia and Europe. Each group has different shtick. This is one of the things they all have in common. None of them have Kedusha Kesef. None of them have Kedusha Kesef. So that's what some commentaries say. The Rambam writes, no Kali Tzor the Kadosh B'Kesef, means that the Orthodox Jews have the practice to be Mahader, Dafke, to be Mekadosh B'Kesef, to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh as opposed to the Karaim who don't. So the Rambam had that Lashon Kvano Kol Yisrael in other places also, and he means Orthodox Jews as opposed to the Karaim. So that's what they think here also. He means here the Orthodox Jews against the Karaim. Is there ever a din that Shabbat Kesef is not Dino Ki Kesef? So the Gemara has a Braise in Bechorvis Daf Nun Beis, Daf Nun Aleph Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara says the three dinim where Shabbat Kesef is not Ki Kesef. One din is Pidyam Asusheni. You can only put in Masusheni, but Tzata Kesef Yadecha. That's Gemara's in Perak Hazov a lot. Only Kesef. You can't be put in Masusheni on Shavu Kesef. Hegdash, you can be put on Shavu Kesef. You just can't be put Hegdash on Kark Havodim and Shtaros. But Shavu Kesef, other Shavu Kesef is good. But Pidya Masusheni is only Kesef. And then, that's a Din Deraisa. Then, Machsa Shekel has to be Davke Kesef. That's a question how to read. There is no Babli on Shkolim, there's Yerushalmi. So that's the question, what does it say in the Yerushalmi? So there are different interpretations in the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in his Tshuvas, bemoans the fact that when he left Russia, He lost his manuscript. He wrote a whole manuscript on the Yerushalmi, and he felt that was his life's accomplishment, his chibur on the Yerushalmi. And he lost it, part of it. It was stolen from him, part of it. He lost. So he felt bad about that. So he writes in his chibur on the Yerushalmi, he explained that that's a din deraisa, the machzor shekel, you have to give dafke kesef, not shove a kesef. That's learned out from a pasuk. Then the third din is clearly only a din derabbanan. The third din in the brisa in Bchoris daf nun aleph there, when you come to be'ol regal at pesach shvosug zibag oilas riyah, so you have to pay with cash. You can't buy with shavu kesef. So Rashi on Bchoris explains from the Talmud Yerushalmi that's only with the rabban. So the redinim a dafke kesef is good, shavu kesef is no good. So what's the definition of kesef? So some people think kesef has to do with silver. So Rav Moshe said that's unrelated. Silver is one thing, kesef, and this means cash. So what is the definition of cash? Legal tender. So legal tender depends on what the government declares. So the Rashach writes in Ilchas Ribis, it's Negeta Ilchas Ribis, Rashach writes in Ilchas Ribis, everyone agrees Adina Machus Adina plays a role with respect to determining what's kesef and what's shavu kesef. Let's say, for example, you can only be paid a ma'aser sheni on kesef, not on shavu kesef. So someone is in America, and he has ma'aser sheni, he bought an Israeli product, he has ma'aser sheni, he has to be paid, and he's going to use the pruta chamur, he's going to use the Israeli coin that he brought back with him when he spent a year or two or three in Eretz Yisrael. He had an Israeli coin, and he used it for the purpose of pidyon ma'aser sheni. He's going to use it in America, continue to use it for pidyon ma'aser sheni. In America, the Israeli coin is shavu kesef. It's not recognized as legal tender by the American government. In Eretz Yisrael, it's legal tender, but not in America. That's a discussion. That's a discussion. Let's say I have an Israeli coin. Let's say I have an Israeli coin in Eretz Yisrael. I have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. I have a coin there which I use at Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni. I happen to be in New York now, but my Ma'aser Sheni is in London. So what does it depend on? The Israeli coin is located now in Eretz Yisrael. So do you say it depends where the coin is? Or do you say it depends where the person is? The person is in New York. He's in New York, so an Israeli coin is shavu kesef. Or do you say it depends on the makom where the Ma'aser Sheni is? So the three logical possibilities. The three logical possibilities, what does the Gemara say? So there's a Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. So the two girsas in there, girsas are Rambam v'Haraiva, Ava Machlokes. So the Rambam says it depends where the person is, and the Haraiva says that's an incorrect girsa that the Rambam had. It depends where the money is. The third possibility, that depends where the Masheni is, there is no such girsa. Logical possibilities, there are three. Does it depend where the money is located? Does it depend where the Paris are? Does it depend where the person is? But from the logical possibilities, there are only two girsas in the Gemara. So one would have thought you should be Machmir. But for many years, Rab Neuwirth, Zichrono Levracha, was a holy tzaddik. He was quite a Talmid Chacham. So Rab Neuwirth was brought up together with the old-time Yekkes from Breuers. They were classmates. And they used to support the yeshiva called Torah, because Neuwirth was there. The whole yeshiva was founded by Yekkes. They used to support it. They used to send their children. They didn't send their children to Keren B'Yavna or Shalavim. They sent all the Yekkes sent their children to Kol Torah. So for many years, they would print in Breuer's shul journal that Rabbi Neuwirth gives everyone who is a member of Breuer's shul permission to use his Pruta Chamura and Beit Vegan. He had an Israeli coin, and he lived in Beit Vegan. He had all, whoever is a member of Breuer's, all his chaverim, he gives them all permission to use his matbeh. So that's against the Rambam. The Rambam also depends where the person is. They were following the Ravid. Why did he follow the Ravid? It's Machlokes the Rambam, the Ravid. So the Chazanish and others say, we don't pass like the Rambam. The Rambam's girsa was a mistake. It doesn't fit into the Gemara. It just simply doesn't read well. Even though the Rambam had that girsa, so we say it depends where the coin is. So if I have the Israeli coin in America, that's shavu kesef in America. It's not kesef. It's not recognized as legal tender by the American government. So there are many wise guys who say the Israeli government is a bunch of pirates, they're gazlanim, and there's no din in the machusa because of the chamsanusa, the machusa. It's not a legitimate government. if they would be correct, if you would say there's no Dina Machusa, then you can't use Israeli coins for the purpose of Pidya Maaser Sheni. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman used Israeli coin. The Chazon Ish used Israeli coin. They always used Israeli coin. Chazon Ish talks about using a shilling. That Sefer Chazon Ish was printed before HaKamas HaMedina, when the British were ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So he talks about being paid in Maaser Sheni with the shilling. So the loonies, the Meshugoyim from the Turikarta, so they don't recognize the Medina. So they say, you have to use a shilling for Pidya Maaser Sheni, the Salitonis. The British will be the first ones to say that they're not in charge. They don't want to be in charge of Eretz Yisrael. So if you really hold like that the Israeli government are a bunch of pirates and it's not a legitimate government, then you can't use Israeli coins for the purpose of Pidya Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Yashiv, all the Talmid Chacham that we know, they all use Israeli coins. So they recognize it as a government. It's worse than under the Tsars in Russia. The Tsars were bigger Ganovim. Every government has Ganovim. And Trump was not a Ganov. Trump is also a Ganov. But under the circumstances, that's the government that we have. We know in advance that they're going to be Ganov. You don't say that they're pirates, it's not a legitimate government. There's some sociologists who claim that the whole institution of money, as opposed to Shavei Kesef, is an evil of society. That the world would be a better place to live in if there wouldn't be such an institution of money. People are always out to make more money. If we would, instead of buying things with money, everything would be barter. Hamachlev para b'chamor. I have an extra chamor, you have an extra para. And I need carpets, I'll give you some eggs. And I want flesh, so I'll give you furniture, whatever. So it would be a better world to live in because people wouldn't be able to amass so much, they wouldn't have such desire to amass so much money. So those who claim that the whole institution of Kesef, as opposed to Shavei Kesef, is an evil of society. So the Chazon Ish refers to this in one of his Svarim, and he says that's not the Torah's attitude. If you have a din that Pidya Maaser Sheni can only be with Kesef, means that that's an ideal world. Maybe you can have Maaser Sheni, you won't need Pidya Maaser Sheni, but Machzor Shekel is a real din. And if your old Machzor Shekel has to be Kesef, it can't be Shavei Kesef. So there you have it. So if there's a mitzvah, it can only be fulfilled, and everyone's b'chayv in the mitzvah, Machzor Shekel. You can only fulfill the mitzvah min haTorah, if you assume it's min haTorah. By giving Kesef, it means that that's the ideal society. And then it says in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, commenting on the Pasuk when Yaakov Avinu came to Shechem, Vayichan as Pnehu Ir. So the Gemara says, Vayichan as Miloshen Chem. Poshe Shab Miloshen Chanoya. He encamped. Vayichan as Pnehu. Yaakov Avinu camped his tents near Shechem. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Miloshen Chem. He added Chem to the city. Since he was Nitzel from Lavan, he was living by Lavan for so many years, and he was Nitzel, and Lavan didn't harm him. So he felt obligated to give some major matana to the community. So the Gemara has three suggestions. One pshat, what did he do? How did he add chayin? So one pshat is he introduced bathhouses, that the people should be healthier. If you bathe more often, if you bathe, period. They never used to bathe at all. If you bathe more often, then you'd be healthier. He introduced batei mechatzos. Then one pshat, he introduced shopping malls. Instead of having the store for eggs over there and the store for flesh over there, all the stores in one area, so it's easier to go shopping. And then the third pshat, the Gemara says, he introduced matbea. He introduced a monetary system that you don't have to always be machlok par b'chamor. You don't have to do barter all the time. You can buy with money. So if Yaakov Avinu introduced it in Shechem in order to give back to society because he felt he owed a debt of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matzal him. So the Gemara says, whenever you have a Yeshua, you have to give something to the world to recognize your appreciation. So if Yaakov Avinu did it, and the Torah praises it, you see, it's a proper thing. Not like the sociologists say, that the fact that every country has a monetary system is an evil of society. It's not an evil. It's supposed to be. It's an evil of society that there are Ganovim who are misusing the system and they're cheating and they're getting rich at other people's expenses. But just the fact that there's a monetary system, that's not an evil of society. Yeah. Where else did you apply dina machusa dina? So it doesn't apply, it applies to matbeis, what's called kesef, what's called shavi kesef. That's the shach and hilchos ribis. Then it applies to being yet to paying taxes. Dina machusa dina. Then you have a legal system. The Gemara has in the end of Bava Kama a din that if we have a Bezdin, and Bezdin has a nice reputation, so even non-Jews come to the Bezdin. So if a Jew comes to a court case with a Nochri, they come to a Bezdin, so the Gemara says you should always try to see to it that the Pesach should be in favor of the Jew. So if by using Jewish law the Jew will win, so tell him you're Paschim based on Jewish law. If you use Goyish law, the Jew will win, so you use Goyish law. That's not fair. What kind of shtick is that? So the Rambam says the Gemara is not talking about a plain Nochri, Gemara is talking about Nochri Ovid Avodah Zarah. So we're going out to penalize him. He's worshipping Avodah Zarah. But if he's a decent Nochri, then the Rambam says you paskin based on Dina Machusa, the Jewish Bezdin. But they're not supposed to paskin based on Chosh Mishpat. They should paskin whatever the law of the land is. Whenever at least one of the parties is a Nochri, then you follow Dina Machusa. Dina Machusa is not on when it gets to paying taxes. The government has a right to set up a whole legal system of Dini Chayv al-Mazik and Dini Halvoa and a whole Chosh Mishpat. If all the parties are Jewish, we follow Chosh Mishpat. If one of the parties is a Goy and no one's an Ovid Avod Zarah, then you're supposed to paskan beis adin. So where does that come from? How do you know the Goyim have a right to introduce a whole legal system? So the Pashtus, the Rishonim assume that's one of the Seven Mitzvahs Ben Yenach, that's called Dinim. Dinim means they should set up a court system, and they should also set up a legal system. They should set up a whole Chosh Mishpat. There's a Tshuvas HaRamah that's very, very questionable. The Ramah says that the dinim that the Bnei Noach are supposed to follow is whatever it says in Chosh Mishpat. They're not allowed to make up their own dinim. Where do you get that from? He has a Ramban on Chumash, which he interprets as saying like that. The Ramban says on Chumash that all the Choftad, all of us in Zikin, Anus and Mefatim, Moti Shemra, everything in Shulchan Aruch, all the Choftad, everything applies to the Nochrim. There's a Gemara in the end of Chulim, where the Gemara talks about the 30 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So the Rishonim asks, what 30 mitzvahs? There are 7 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So some of them have this charifas, that there are Choftad, Rabbis, and Zik, and that's included in Dinim. 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach is 6 plus Dinim. And Dinim is 24, Choftad, Rabbis, and Zik. And so that's the 30. That's a pshetl. The Pashto says that it's not correct. That's a difficult Tshuva Saramah. The Pashto says that it's not right. What happened was the Ramah was a cousin of Maran Padua. Maran Padua was an Ashkenazi. He lived in Padua, in Italy, but he was an Ashkenazi. His name was Katzen Allenberg. That's not a Swedish name. His name was Katzen Allenberg, and he was a cousin of the Ramah. So this Maran Padua went into Shutfis with the Nochri, and they printed a new edition of the Rambam. And he was making a fortune of money. And then another guy saw that the Rambam is selling. So he took an old copy of the Rambam. Maran Padua put out a Rambam with Hagos on the bottom of the page. Hagos Maran Padua. He wouldn't even notice it. You never even notice that they're Hagos. You look in the Rambam, you have the Kesef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech, the Lecha Mishnah. You have the Hagos Mami on the bottom. Not on every page. Every other page, every 5 pages. There's tiny letters on the bottom of the Rambam before you have the Lecha Mishnah on the bottom. Tiny letters. It says, look in the tour. There's another Ksav Yad Girsa. That's the Hagos of the Maran Padua. That's not Hagos Maran Padua. No, we don't even realize that it's there. We don't even pay attention. So another Nochri took an old Rambam. He sees the Rambam is selling, making a lot of money. So he took an old edition of the Rambam and he reprinted it. And he's going in competition with the Maran Padua, with his shutvis, with the guy who was selling the Rambam before. So the Maran Padua sent a letter to the Ramah, could he support him and explain to the public why the people have to buy his Rambam. They shouldn't buy from the other guy who's selling it for less. So the Ramah wrote a whole tshuva. I'm very surprised why he doesn't say that he's a cousin of the Maran Padua. it's a little deceptive. He should have said, my cousin put out a Rama. It doesn't say my cousin. It just says, Marpadua put out. Maybe everybody knew that it was his cousin. I don't know. I thought it was a little fishy. But the Rama gives a whole tshuva. He gives six reasons why you have to let the Talmid Chacham sell his Ramams first. So one reason he says, you're not allowed to have a sefer shein amuga. If you have a sefer and halacha that has mistakes in it, so you're not allowed to keep it. Al tashkim alecha avlo. If someone has a sefer shein amuga, has mistakes in it. So he says, the edition of the Ramam that the other guy printed doesn't have the hagos of the Maran Padua. This is the sefer muga. So if you have a choice, you have to buy the sefer muga. Sefer muga, come on. Nobody even knows that the hagos are there. Once in a long while, it's a relevant hagos. Usually it's irrelevant. That he has a whole bunch of reasons, six, seven reasons why. One reason is, if there's a Jew and a non-Jew, you can do business with the Jew and the non-Jew. Kisim kamimkar, la misecha kano, miyara misecha. If you have a choice to do business, you can either buy in this store and that store. This store, the Jews are going to make money. That store, the goyim are going to make money. So you should do the business with the Jew, even if it means that it'll cost you a little extra. Instead of going to the A&P, things will be less expensive. Go to the local Jewish grocer, things will cost a little bit more. It's going to add up at the end of the year, going to add up to a few thousand dollars. $1,000, it depends how wealthy you are. That's a lot of money, but it's just going to add up to a little bit more, so then you should even spend a little bit more. Okay, it has a whole bunch of reasons. So one of the reasons that he has is, there's a din chayshe mishpat, that whenever the two people come to town and they're selling the same merchandise, one of them is the Talmid Chacham Naktina Leishuka. First he let the Talmid Chacham sell all of his merchandise, and then only after he sold all he wants to sell, then you give permission to the non-Talmid Chacham to sell. So that din is printed in chayshe mishpat. Maybe we should have printed it in Yeridaya, in Hilchus Kavod Talmid Chacham, but it's printed in chayshe mishpat. So the Ramah says, based on his Ramban HaChumash, that the Goyim have to observe all the Chavtal, Ravis, and Zikin. So he says, whatever it says in Chosh Mishma, the Goyim have to observe. So this is also in Chosh Mishma, Naktina Leishuka. So the Goy who printed the second edition of the Ramah, who's competing with the Maran Padua's edition, he has no right to sell his Ramah until the Maran Padua sells all of his copies, because then he didn't, that's in Chosh Mishma, but is binding on all the Goyim. The Pashto says not like that, Ramah. The Pashto says that the Goyim don't have to have the Chosh Mishpat that we have. They have a right to make up their own legal system. Pashto says not like that. So that's an issue. Whether you say Dina in the Machus Adina, they have a right to make their own legal system, or no? They have to follow everything in Chosh Mishpat. The Pashto, they have a right to make their own legal system. But if both of the parties, all the parties involved are Jewish, then the Rashba and the Tshuva said, we don't follow Dina Machus Adina. What if a Jew is selling a house or metatlim to another Jew and is going to make a kinyan, which is only a valid kinyan according to Dina the Machusa? They say Dina Machusa Dina. All the parties involved are Jewish. Ruli is selling to Shimon. So the Rashba said, we don't follow Dina Machusa. So that's a Gemara in Gittin, the first parak. And the Gemara comes to the Maskana, Dina Machusa Dina applies. How can it be? Dina Machusa doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. How come the Kenyan, according to Dina Machusa, this is Kenyan, let's say New York State, if he's selling karka, between selling real estate and selling betaltalim, so if selling karka, you have to have a shtar. If you're selling betaltalim, you don't even need a Kenyan. Just the Kenyan is chal b'dibur alone. So when you do mechiras chametz, he's selling the chametz. So just say we're selling to a goy, not even selling to a Jew, we're selling to a goy. Just say he's selling with Din and Machusa. So that's what we do, six kinyan. When we sell the chametz, we do six kinyan. Because each kinyan has a question. So that's it. So some say that Din and Machusa Din is only a kinyan midirabbanon. And if it's only midirabbanon, so maybe it doesn't help to solve the problem of Bali Rabbi Matz. Maybe you need dafke kinyan derais. So that's the reason why we don't rely on that at all. Because over there we're selling to a goy, so then you really should rely on Dina Machus Adina. Whenever one of the parties involved is an non-Jew, you follow Dina Machus. But the shah is, what if both parties involved are Jewish, and they make a kinyan kifi Dina Machus? So it shouldn't be valid. All the parties involved in the Shushan shouldn't apply. But the Gemara says not so on the first parak in Gittin. So what's going on? So the Chazanish has a whole piece. He quotes a Rabbeinu Yonah and Baba Basra. Rabbeinu Yonah and Baba Basra is called Aliyas the Rabbeinu Yonah. Why is it called Aliyas Der Rabbeinu Yoinah? Because at the end of every sugya, he says, Ha'ilam mitoch ha-sugya. The upshot, the end of the story is, Ha'ilam mitoch ha-sugya. That's how it's called Aliyas, because every the final paragraph on every sugya is, Ha'ilam midiri ha-gemar. So in Aliyas Der Rabbeinu Yoinah, he has a pshat. So the Chazon Ish thinks that's the only pshat that fits in into the Gemara Gittin. He says, let's say two Jews have an issue, monetary issue. So they're supposed to go to a dintar. Let's say they didn't go to a dintar. They don't know he's supposed to go to a dintar. They went to Arkos, went to Goyish court. And the Goyish court gave a psak on the case. So just like there's a din hefker bezna hefker, there's a din din in the machusa din. If the Goyish court gave a psak, the psak is binding. If I took you to secular court and you said we're not allowed to go, you didn't want to go, then, and I win, then the Bezdin may decide to penalize me because I did Shaloi Kedin. But let's say we don't know, we're Amaratzim, we don't know, we both said we're going to the secular court. So they can't penalize. If they want, they can penalize. But why should they penalize the one who won the Din Torah? They both agreed to go to secular court. So if they're not going to penalize, the Din is, just like Hefke Bezna Hefke Dina Machus Adina, if they paskan already, you're not supposed to go to Goyish court. Supposed to go to Jewish court, and when you go to Jewish court, if all the parties involved are Jewish, supposed to pass kind of quaint to the Choshem Mishpat. But if you did go to Goyish court, and the Goyish court gave a psak, so that psak is binding unless Bezin will decide to penalize. So what if over here, this, the Rabbeinu Yonik's line, over here, they didn't go to the Goyish court for a decision. They used to fill out documents in a Goyish court. So Reuben sold the soda to Shimon by going to Goyish court. So the way they fill out documents doesn't correspond to our Hilchas Choshen Mishpat. So it shouldn't be meaningful, it shouldn't be valid. But that's the Machloikis in the Gemara there in Gittin, the first part, whether you say Dina Machlus Adina or not. If the Goyish court would have given a psak on the case that the house belongs to the Lakeach, the Kinyan was Chal, we would say the psak is good. They never gave a psak. The document was filled out under the auspices of the courts, but the court never gave a psak on the case. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Can you apply over here din in the machus adina? So we pass, can you do apply? Since the court is under the auspices of the government, so it's considered as if it was a din in the machus adina, as if the government had given a psak, even though the court didn't give any psak. They were in court and they filled out a document. They didn't ask for a psak. They just filled out a shtar. So he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, that's the pshat in the Gemara. But whenever both parties involved are Jewish, we don't follow Din and Machuset. That's a Yetzim and I call that Gemara. Because since the court, since the document was filled out under the auspices of the court, so that's, we figure that, we treat it as if the court had given a psak on the case. Yeah, there is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the Peis. Where the Gemara tells a story about Reb Shimon Baichoy was hiding out in the cave with his son, Reb Lazar Reb Shimon. They were sitting and learning Zohar for a couple of years in the cave. Had nothing to eat, they were eating baksa and drinking water. So after he came out of the cave, what did he do for a living? Reb Lazar Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, he became a policeman for the Roman government. And what they did, another policeman, the Jews spoke Yiddish, and the Romans spoke Latin. So they didn't know, they couldn't chap the ganavim among the Jews. So they knew someone, they needed someone Jewish, and knows how to speak Yiddish, to catch the Jewish ganavim. That was what he did for a living. So Eliyahu Navi came and he said, it's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. He'd go get a different job. So he quit. So how did he do that in the first place? Isn't there an Isin, a seer over here? And the Gemara says they would give the death penalty for a ganav. We don't have such a thing. We don't have a death penalty. By the Sheva Mitzvah's been enough. The Gemara says, Azarosam Zui Misosam. Whenever the Nochri violates one of the Sheva Mitzvah, so the punishment is Misa. The Nochri is Nerag Al Pachas Mishava Pruta. The Nochri steals less than the Shavah Pruta, he gets the death penalty. So here, I'm Rav Lozab Reb Shimon, masses them over to the Roman government, Jews, massing over Jews, based on circumstantial evidence, the Gemara says. whoever was yawning over breakfast, he would look, who's yawning over breakfast? So if he's a Talmid Chacham, he would assume he was up last night learning late, that's why he's yawning. If he's not a Talmid Chacham, he would assume he was up last night cracking safes, and he would master him to the government, and then would give him the death penalty. This Chachmamish circumstantial evidence, they give death penalty, but it's circumstantial evidence. And Halacha doesn't give Misa. So the Shita Mukubet says, I'm not Gemar, and the Ran and Sanhedrin says the same thing. Dina the Machus Adina, the government has a right to give the death penalty to Jewish people. I can help them also. That's not Mesirah. Mesirah is when Shaloike did. The original Mesirah is the government wants to know who are the rich Jews, who are the poor Jews. They all dress the same on Shabbos, they all dress Shabbos day, and weekdays they all dress in jeans. So how do you know who's rich and who's poor? So they ask me, who are the rich Jews? If I'll check in their mattresses, I'll find a lot of money. So I tell them, these guys are the rich Jews. Look in the house. So the government is coming to take money. Shaloi kedin. They're stealing. But that's why Mesirah is also. But if a Jew is a ganav and he deserves to be punished, then we wouldn't give the death penalty. But the Goyish government has the right to give the death penalty. So he deserves to be punished. If his whole Avera was, let's say, under the Russians, if you go to shul, they'll put you in prison. So that's not an Avera. So I'm going to master that the guy Davins in shul and the Russian government is going to put him in prison. He didn't do an Avera. He didn't do anything wrong. He doesn't deserve any punishment. But if he did an Avera, by us the punishment is you pay kefal. That's all you got. If you pay kefal, you pay karen, you pay back the money. And by the goyim, they give you the death penalty. So that's not called Mesirah, the Rishonim say. That's not called Mesirah. Say people are cheating on income tax, so you should really warn them. If you know someone's cheating on income tax, you should really warn them in advance. A Jewish person, but let's say you warn him and he doesn't listen, and my income tax is 10 times as much as it should, 100 times what it should have been, because all the others are cheating on income tax. So I have a right to complain to the government. I have a right to master this guy. It's not Mesira. That's the din and machusa. You're not allowed to cheat on income tax, and if you cheat, they have a right to put you in prison for 10 years. They have a right to make you pay kefal, whatever. Okay, so some they can pay. That's not called mesira. That's not called mesira. There's a funny position of the Chazon Ish, which has not been accepted. They quoted from the Chazon Ish a funny thing. So the Minchas Yitzchak was dying wise when Eda Charedis. He passed away a long time ago, 30 years ago. So he shows that this is accurate, but the Chazon Ish is quoted as having said. Chazon Ish said, if you can walk into a... He said in Eretz Yisrael, if you can walk into a government office and walk off with furniture, or with pens, or paper, or stamps, it's not Geneva. Why not? So Pashup Shat, he doesn't believe in the Medina. What does that mean? So it comes out, the Chazon Ish said it on any democracy. He said, if you have a government, but there's a king, so the king owns everything. But if you have a government, where there's no king, democratic government. So who owns the furniture? Who owns the building? It belongs to the government. Is there such an owner? A government? Chal Hashem, ownership of a government. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion there is no such thing. That's a Chal Hashem Ba'alam, a corporation. Chal Hashem Ba'alam. So the Chazon Ish held that if you can get away with it, you can walk off in any democratic government, America and England and democratic country. So the Minchas Yitzchak just shows that his opinion was not accepted, because according to the Chazon Ish, whatever is owned by the government is really hefka. When the people pay taxes, they give the money to the government. There's nobody there. There is no Chal Hashem government. So everything you give to the government is hefka. So they asked the Minchas Yitzchak in Eretz Yisrael, they have a system for many years already, that Tenuva is a government entity, buys up all the food from the farmers, and then they have a mashgich and mafrish shumas and mazda, and they sell it in the stores from Tenuva. So if the Chazon Ish is right, everything is hefker. So you can't be mafrish shumas and maizes on hefker. It should be potter from shumas and maizes. So the Minchas Yitzchak writes that this system of the government buying everything up existed before the Chazon Ish came to Eretz Yisrael. He writes, they had big rabbanim there. And he says the rabbanim didn't agree with the Chazon Ish. It was under the British. They didn't hold like that. They held that it has an ownership. And the owner has the ability to appoint a shliach, a mashgiach, to be mafid shumas and isis. So he said, we don't hold like that. We don't hold like that, Chazon Ish. Okay, these are the highlights of Dina Mahusa. Here I have a whole list of these Marmakabas, and then they printed out some of them. Printed out some of the Marmakabas. So it's a rich topic, very interesting. And then the Dvar Avram, the first tshuva in the Chelek Aleph Simenal, the first tshuva is about Dina Mahusa Dina, and it has a very valuable footnote there. Here it's on page 14 in the regular edition of the Dvar Avram. It's a long footnote where he writes the different categories of Dina Mahusa, paying taxes, kinyonim, Dinan Machavero, Matbeya, all the different things. Okay, so now we run to Davi Mincha.
How does that Chazon mean?